Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct to my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how's everything been going?
Smoky.
Oh, come on. That's what we said last week. It's not nearly as bad this week.
Well, that's true.
I don't know the exact number, but I can almost was able to see the sky again, and it's still there. So,
It's still a big red ball like the moon at night.
Well, yeah. That there's been some incredible sunrises and sunsets for sure, and I'm going to say that's probably about the only positive thing that I can say out of that smoke for sure, but definitely looking forward to back to our normal and better air quality. We always like to hear from our in-house lending specialist with Home Street, Mr. Mike Denslow. Mike, glad to have you back. We missed you last week.
Smoky.
Yeah. That's all he has to say. Out of commission. Not enjoying it either. So definitely glad to have you back. And thanks again. I know we've got some great topics coming up, but it was all the files still got handled very well, and we've had a couple more closings. And appreciate all the hard work you've been doing for our clients over there.
Yeah, your team is keeping us plenty busy, which is great, and we're getting things closed. We talked about it in your sales meeting early in the week. It's just amazing how many different situations can be happening at once. You got self-employed, and you got people moving here from out of state, and you've got this and that, and it's just never gets old.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for helping keep track of all those moving parts and getting a bunch of those loans done. We always, before we jump into our local topic, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate house. And this week, we're talking about E.B. White. Anybody in here know what book E.B. White wrote? Oh, McKay, we're stressing you out over here.
The pig.
Charlotte's Web?
Charlotte's Web. From the guest microphone, property manager RJ Lang comes in with Charlotte's Web. That's exactly right. So E.B. White's actually the home that he lived in and wrote the book in, and the barn and the inspiration for that story. That home is on the market. This is in Blue Hill, Maine. It sits right on the water, and it's on 44 acres. Recently hit the market for $3.7 million. And E.B. White actually, the house that sits on that farm was originally built in the 1790s. It includes 2,000 feet of shoreline frontage. I mean, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous setting there.
But Lance, I'd be worried about spiders.
there you go, Mike. I knew that one was coming. He actually bought the property and lived in it from 1933 until his death in 1985. And then it's only had one single owner since then. They used it as a second home, fixed it up. Gorgeous, gorgeous big farmhouse out there. Six fireplaces, five bedrooms, three baths, plus that famous barn. And actually, the original rope swing that the web was made on is still there. I mean, it's pretty incredible historical property, but it is going to cost you $3.7 million. So, did I mention the boat dock? Does that make it worthwhile for you, Mike?
I'd like to hear about the boat dock, please.
Okay. Multiple slips available in that boat dock. So, cool property. Kind of fun to look at those pictures and see really quite an estate that has only been really in the last century had two owners. So, pretty incredible property there. Well, we always like to transition from our crazy national celebrity story and go back into our local market and kind of start to dig into what's going on there. It had been a couple months since we had talked about property management and what was happening there. And so we've had some really unique things happen in the property management side of the business in the last 4 to 5 months since we talked last. So I thought I would invite our managing broker of our property management brokerage in. And welcome to the show. We have with us today RJ Lang. RJ, welcome.
Thank you, Lance. It's great to see you, Mike and John. It's great to see you guys again.
So one of the things that we're always talking about and going over, and that is how can you maximize the return on your investments? When people come to us and they talk about property management and they're going to hire somebody to help them with that situation, one of the things that we're always talking about is returns. And so there's some cool things that happen in that market. And so I said to RJ, I said, hey, you've been doing some business in some niche markets. Let's come on the radio show and talk about some scenarios that people don't always think about. So before we delve into that, I think people that missed the last show always want to know a little bit about who they're talking to. So RJ, quick background. How long have you been in the property management business, and how did you get into the business?
Oh, it's been 10 years now. I actually started in mortgage lending and then eventually migrated over to real estate and property management.
Absolutely. And you came to that business with a four-year degree, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and what was your degree in, background?
Economics from the University of Washington there.
Okay, perfect. So that's perfect for the subject matter and what we're talking about. Mike Denslos, UW alum over there, smiling. I think he just learned something.
I just became a fan of RJ.
Became a fan of RJ. So
triathlete.
So yes, on top of that, we always push people for a little bit of their hobby. So outside of property management, you're also have started to become pretty involved athletically in the triathlon area. Talk to us a little bit about that. You just did a local race here, right?
I did, yes. It was the Power of Pasco. It was a sprint triathlon, so it was a short race. But they do have a local circuit that's coming up this month. There's two more races, and one being in the middle of August. That's Aquaman is what it's called, and it's a swim duathlon where you run, swim, run. And then at the beginning of September, there's the Plutonium Man, which is an Olympic-sized triathlon that the local circuit athletes have been training for, and it's been really fun to get to know them, tight-knit community.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So you're not only doing business in the Tri-Cities that we love, you're taking advantage of some of that weather and activities that they have. So love
so
that.
So the reviews on Plutonium Man are glowing, I take it?
Oh, McKay's joining in. I can tell everybody got rested up last night. Everybody's had their sleep for sure. So, RJ, talk to me about this maximizing return, and you and I talked a little bit and said, what are some of the situations you come across in property management that are a little bit unique, but you kind of have started to specialize in some of that? What are some of those situations that you have that garner above average returns?
Yes. There's an insurance relocation situation that I've recently been very involved with and specialized, as you say, like more of a niche market now, to where if there was a fire, let's say, or somebody drives through your kitchen or your house floods, the insurance companies have to contact somebody in regards to relocating these homeowners. So who would they contact but a property manager? And somebody that they would know and like to work with is I've become kind of a go-to guy for them. So what happens with this situation is we discuss and negotiate the terms of the lease, which is usually going to be a shorter term than you're expecting, like 3 to 6 months. But those typically go a little bit longer depending on the situation and what they're being misplaced for.
Absolutely. And so one of the things, one of the advantages of working with you on the property management side is when those insurance reps contact you and you look at the portfolio, and if you have a ready, willing property to go, it might be a little shorter term lease, but you can get somebody in there for above market rents for that shorter term.
Yes, that's the key. So where we make the profits for the owners is that they pay us a premium monthly on top of what we're asking for market rents. So if we haven't filled the property already and it's sitting vacant, they will offer us anywhere from $300 to $500 additional per month to go ahead and house these for compensation for the shorter term.
Now, I think one of the things that we've ran into, which has been interesting for our owners too, is in the current market with the shortage of contractors and bids and people getting work done in time, I think a lot of times you find in our current state, just because of the subcontractors, those terms sometimes run longer than you initially expect.
Yes, definitely. In the last two situations that we've run across, one has almost gone over a year now, and we got a substantial premium on top of that. And then because the owners needed to have their home back to compensate them even more for the situation, that premium doubled. And by not just the additional premium, I'm talking the rent plus the premium doubled. So that was a situation that was fairly unique. But they are getting some good profits for their property.
Absolutely. And so I think that's good to note, too, that when you're interviewing and talking to different property managers, and we always want to be on that list. We always ask. That's our ask is we like to be the ones interviewing for that job. And you want to make sure you're dealing with somebody that has experience in working and negotiating with those insurance companies so you can get the proper premium. And it's also a service, too. I mean, you're helping the community out. When somebody has had a house fire like that or they've had an unfortunate flood, it's nice to be able to reach in and help that family relocate to a house. So, good. That's a great, great niche market working with those insurance companies. Now, RJ2, just as kind of background for our listeners out there, a lot of times I think sometimes people worry about payment schedules and working with a larger company. How have you found the insurance company's checks? Do they come regularly? Are they easier to work with? What's the situation there?
Right. Yeah. So the day that we come to terms on the agreement, they usually will 2-day air the payment out with including their deposit and any fees that are required to start and their first month. And then every month thereafter, we receive the checks before the first of the month. So the owners are getting their checks on the first and getting that payment very timely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So sometimes you're even dealing with a more efficient type of situation there. That's great. That's absolutely fantastic. What else do you have for me on some of the other rental type of niche situations that you're dealing with?
What I've noticed recently, Lance, is there's a couple of owners, and by a couple, I mean about 6 to 8 of high-end or top-end rentals that have approached me. And what I've been shocked about is that we've been, with our online advertising and networking, we've been able to average only 9 days vacant on the rental market for these 6 to 8 different properties, bringing in over $2,300 in rents.
Yeah, and so that's one of those things where you're looking at and you're like, you might be scared to put a house of that caliber into property management, or people do call us and they'll ask all the time, gosh, I'm just not sure over $2,000 a month, does anybody even rent those type of homes? And from the data you're pulling out, yeah, I see right here we had written down only 9 days average on the market for those upper end homes. Now, who are these homes? This is the question we always get. And people say, who are these homes renting to?
Right.
And by who, I don't mean give me their name, Bob Sally. No, I mean like what do these people do, RJ, that are what type of situations are we looking at?
So right now we've got a couple of doctors, and one of them, one of our largest ones being a doctor married a doctor. That's a very good situation. Company owners as well. We have an environmental executive, also real estate agents' clients. This is a big one that have buyers that are building those upper end homes that want something comparable, something really nice, like a Solferino home that was built last year that they want to rent out for a year long while their house is being built.
So that makes a lot of sense, and that's a good point to bring up. And I think a lot of times too. I know we do have several real estate agents and people in that real estate community that also listen to the show. So that you bring up an interesting point. So you have other companies, real estate agents, their clients, they're going into a new construction build. They want to take advantage of the market we have now and sell why prices are super high, and then go into a rental why they're building. Now, talk to me about that. There's some hesitation out there, I know, in the marketplace. There's 800 of us agents out there. We're all highly competitive. Now, RJ, I think a lot of people, those agents that are listening, will say, gosh, why am I going to bring you, my client, and then Lance is just going to steal it from me?
Very true. And this is a huge...
Wait, very true that I'm going to steal them?
No, this is a huge fear. Okay. This is a huge fear that a lot of real estate agents have. I mean, if you're coming to the Kenmore Team Property Management... Who's to stop them from, you know, taking your buyer,
right?
And this is the thought process that we've had to get by. However, we've developed an assurance agreement, and we've spoken with our attorney and developed a document so that you are protected in that aspect, so that when you bring a buyer to us, we are guaranteed to give it back to you, or we actually front money for that. So
you've actually worked yourself in, and I appreciate that, and you and I have talked off the air a lot about this. So you're actually putting a penalty, meaning like if for any reason, I don't care what the reason is, if that client doesn't come back to you, you're going to pay a penalty. You pre-contract with them. We just want your rental business that on that side of the business. That's what we're after.
That's correct.
I love the fact. I love that you step up to the plate. You've got a financial penalty that you're willing to pay. So that's awesome. And we've got some good references out there too. There's other agents that we've dealt with, and that's a great source of business. I mean, our goal on that aspect and that division is to fulfill the property owner's needs, and that need is to get the highest amount of rent possible. And if we're helping other real estate agents in the community do that, that's our goal, because then their client sells a house and we help our owners get the most amount of rent they can on a short-term deal, on a high-end rental, and your clients are in good hands until their new house is ready. So, gosh, those are great, great niche markets that you're going after. One of the things we're going to talk about when we come back after the break, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk to Mike Denslow about what's happening and what that looks like on the lending side of things, how that math is going to work on the lending side of things, look at some investment properties, and talk about some of those loan programs. We're also going to grill RJ a little bit more on some of the things to look out for to maximize your return with property management.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about property management, and we always like to talk to Mike Denslow at Home Street. Now, Mike, I mentioned math. I got to say, one thing I love about the show is I learn something all the time. I'm also an excitable guy, so when I start talking about subjects, I get going, and I mispronounce some words or say them wrong. I got a shout out to one of our listeners. Jack had sent me an email and said, hey, I think a lot of scientists and math people listen to your show, and all the time you're talking about Zillow and you're saying logarithm, and that's a mathematical term, and that's not what they're using. They're actually using an algorithm. And so I want to stop the wincing of the math majors and scientists out there. And I'm making a more concerted effort, and I might get that word wrong too, but it's Lance, right? Okay, I know real estate. But I'm making more of an effort to use algorithm as the correct formula that they're using when they're pricing out these homes. And there's going to be more of this coming. There's more statistical and data analysis coming. So I'm glad I'm getting it right now.
So yeah. Algorithm as opposed to abacus.
Don't even get me started on stuff I don't know what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's the one with the little beads you slide.
I'm not even going to comment on it, McKay. I'm scared to go outside of my known field now. So anyway, I am going to turn it over to Mike Denslow because he knows about mortgages and what's going on that side. But Mike, talk to us a little bit about what's going on in your world and a little slant with some of this property management stuff.
Well, math. I like math. I like explaining math. I like figuring out story problems. I wouldn't have said that when I was in grade school, but I do now. And a lot of times lately in this competitive market, we've got some non-contingent offers. Can I buy this house without selling my house?
Oh, that's huge. That's happening yep. all the time right now.
Yeah. And then when I do sell my house and then I take that money and I throw it into the mortgage, what happens? Reamortizations, all these different things. And I think the goal that a lot of people get away from is, you know, what's the rate? What's the rate? What's the rate? You know, like, well, our concern should be paying the least amount of money over time. And I really like to break it down and show them, well, at this rate, you know, you're going to pay this much interest. The big question I ask people is, well, how long are you going to have this loan? And they look at me like, well, how would I know that? You know, and I said, well, okay, you're going to sell this house over here and you're going to put this much down over here. And we just start breaking it down. Like, okay, well, you're going to sell that house. You're going to have this new $200,000 mortgage and then you're going to put $100,000 more down. Are you going to keep making the same payment? Do you want the lower payment? When are you going to retire? I mean, there's just so many different things to consider. And what I like to do is just break it down into small pieces so they can make educated decisions on, all right, well, what payment do I want when I am retired? Am I going to accelerate it? Do I want to pay it off before I retire? And if I can get all that information from people, I can pretty much tell them the way to pay the least amount of interest because that should be the goal, not necessarily the absolute bottom rate. Because I had a client recently that said, I'm going to be coming into some property, my family is going to sell it, and I'm going to be netting this amount of money inside of 4 years. I'm like, well, then don't buy yourself down to the best interest rate because you're not going to have the loan long enough to see the benefit. And I keep hearing so many people saying, what's the rate? What's the rate? And I'm like, well, wait a minute, slow down.
And there's a lot that goes into that, and I think a lot of times people don't realize that. You know, they're rate sensitive, or they've seen, you know, a lot of commercials that's the only thing that they talk about. And there's a lot more that is worked into the cost of that loan. And I love what you're saying about the story problem because, yeah, you're working out a complicated issue based upon the needs and wants and how long somebody's going to be in a house. And if you get somebody thinking, they're like, it's one thing when you've got two kids in high school right now and the house is full, but in 7 years when the kids are gone, are you still going to want to be in that house? And then people are like, oh gosh, I never thought about that. Maybe we won't be, and there's a better program for them.
I try to get it arm the clients with as much information so they can make a decision based on facts and data rather than an emotional decision. And I don't know, that's my way of doing things, and it's worked out my 15 years of doing this. So that's my way that I do it. Talking about RJ and investment properties and that kind of thing, I'll go back to 20% down versus 25% down on investment properties. There's about a quarter better in interest rate that you're going to get if you put 25% down versus 20. Fannie Mae has a built-in fee for investment properties because they are looked at as a riskier transaction. So you're going to pay a higher rate. But if you put down just a little bit more, all of a sudden you get a quarter better in interest rate. Just there's a lot of little nuances like that I like to point out to people just so they have all the information.
And what's the biggest thing, you know, you're looking at? A lot of people have been approaching us recently about keeping their first home and turning that into a rental. and then building a new home also. I know there's some minefields and some stuff you have to look out for in that calculation.
When you're buying a new primary residence, let's say you have a house and you're thinking about getting a new one, conventional loan, 5% down, I mean, you can do more, obviously, to 20 or even more. But you don't have to have 20% down to buy that. You can get in with 5% down. You can convert your previous into a rental. And RJ and I have talked about this before. You know, you get somebody in their mid-20s, buys their first house, upgrades to the next one, keeps the previous one as a rental, gets married and has some kids, buys another one 5 to 7 years later, turns the second one into a rental. Now, all of a sudden, you're sitting there with a primary residence. You got two rentals. You're setting yourself up. You know, you start talking about, well, hey, what do I have to pay these off in 15 or 20 years? And you're looking at retirement where you've got your house free and clear and you got two rentals free and clear. I mean, it's just whenever I get chills when those people come into my office because I was like, man, I wish I was in this position, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, like if you listen to me and follow this plan, I'll have your house paid off when you retire and $4,000 a month in positive cash flow. And so, yeah, it makes a huge, huge difference if they follow that plan for sure.
Yeah, and I've been surprised this year. I've had a lot of good young people with have figured out to keep their credit up and debts down and been able to save some money and buy a house. And with the idea that they're only going to be in that house as their primary probably 3 years or so and then be primed for getting another one and turning it into a rental. So it's very encouraging.
Awesome. That's great information, Mike. Thanks for bringing that info in. RJ, we always like to do a pick three. Normally we have some residential or commercial properties, but with you here today, let's do a pick three on some rentals. Give the listeners an idea of what properties are renting for right now. What do you have available over there that you like?
Right now in Richland, in Meadow Hills, I have a three-bedroom, two-bath, 2,300-square-foot home, single story for $19.95 a month. On the green, we have a apartment, which is a one-bedroom, 704 square feet for $8.95 a month. And then in West Richland, we have a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath, 2,050 square feet for $17.95 a month. That's on a two-year lease.
Wow, fantastic. And so that on the green, if someone's just starting out or recently graduated, so that's off a gauge there, the condominium's off a gauge?
Right, my Meadow Springs area.
Okay, so you're in that Meadow area, and you're in there for $8.95 and great location. Okay, those are awesome. If people want to apply for those rentals or see more pictures of them, how do they get to those?
They go online to KenmoreTeamPropertyManagement.com.
And that's one of the things I know you're focused on. We're about to wrap the show up and stuff, but you've really done a great job. You've implemented a lot of technology into that platform. So not only are they going to be able to see the units online there, but they're also going to be able to utilize that to make application?
Right, correct. Yeah, they can make an application, and once they become a tenant, they can put in a work order online, and it's a really slick feature, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, sounds great, folks. If you have any questions about that, KenmoreTeamPropertyManagement.com. You can always go to just KenmoreTeam.com. Shoot us a message. We'll get you situated to the right departments. If you want to buy one of those investment properties and need to talk financing, Mike, how can people get you at Home Street?
572-3650 is our main line.
Awesome. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.